I don't know about you, but who is looking forward to that glorious, glorious day? Yeah. So wonderful. I'm going to put this here for a moment. Dave's going to be doing something with the computer. We were talking about it before, and they said, well, we need you to fill time while Dave does all the work. And I said, I can do that. Just don't let me touch any technical stuff. But what we're doing is we are getting ready to talk to somebody across the world. We're talking to one of our missionaries, Brian Phipps, and we're going to get a update from him, and I'm so excited about this. Missions is one of the neatest things that we as a church can support and be plugged into, and I think it's so good that we don't just simply support our missionaries with finances. That's great. But even more so, we need to be supporting our missionaries with prayer. And how will we pray for them if we don't know what's going on, if we don't know them? So it's really good to put a name to a face and hear exactly directly from our missionaries every once in a while. So we want to do that. And what a blessing we have with technologies to be able to plug into Turkey right here, right now. He is 8 hours ahead. So his day is wrapping up while we're beginning. And what a neat thing it is to be able to plug in with him. I see that. I think that's just, that's not him, all right? Just so we know. That's just a background. But I see that, and it actually reminds me, that's kind of what it... There he is! All right. I'm done filling time. Brian, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. It's so good to see you. Would you just indulge me for a moment? Faith Community Church, can we say good evening, right? It's evening for you, right?
Yeah.
All right, can we say good evening to Brian? Let's go. Good evening. All right. Hear us pretty well. Okay. Well, Brian, can you give us a couple of updates and just share with us here? I know you can't see me. You're just hearing a voice. So, hello.
There you are.
All right. Can you share with us a few things about your life and ministry and give us some ways that we can be praying for you and your family and your ministry in a more specific fashion?
Yeah. Absolutely. First of all, thank you so much for having me. It's exciting to be joining you guys from the Middle East, from Turkey. I'm from Wisconsin, so I love being able to virtually join you guys this morning. So we're all a bit weary from the pandemic, certainly, but you know, it's impossible to give an update from Turkey without talking about the pandemic because you know, throughout the last year and a half, Turkey every week has been in the top 10 most affected countries in the world. So the pandemic, the coronavirus pandemic, definitely gives us a framework for what we've been doing for the last year and a half. So let me get back to that in a moment. I want to share my screen, and hopefully you have that now.
Very cool. Yep, we got
it. Excellent. Okay, so I just first of all just give you the big picture. Turkey is north of Israel. It's a country of about 83 million people, 99% Muslim, and we live in the capital of Turkey, which is the city of Ankara. And you know, according to most missiologists, Turks living in Turkey makes up the third largest unreached people group in the world. Third largest unreached people group in the world. So we live in a very, very needy place. There are about 8,000 born-again Christians. And I mentioned the population being 83 million. So that equals 0.001% of the population. So kind of to put that in more meaningful terms, that would be like saying in all of Wisconsin that there are only 465 Christians. And so we live in a very, very needy place. Almost all the churches are under like 20 people. Most of the churches are very small. So to get back to the pandemic, We have been under weekend lockdowns for all but three weekends throughout 2001. So we have only been in our church three times. So what that means is that we've done the majority of our worship and discipleship and teaching God's word over Zoom over the last this last year and a half. Right now, for example, as you mentioned, we had our church today. We had 16 Turks come, and that's very average for us to have about 16 Turks. Because of the lockdown, we kind of have a backlog of people that want to get baptized. So we're really eager to get back into our church and to be able to get out and go down to a river and enjoy baptism. So we have nine people waiting to get baptized. And, you know, one other thing I'll tell you about that, and you'll be the...
Brian, excuse me? I don't want to interrupt you, but yeah, that's something we should clap about. Like, how incredible that you just said all our churches are about 20 people or so, but, you know, we got nine people, half the size of the church, waiting to get baptized. What a good problem that is. Praise the Lord for his faithfulness there. Yes. All right. Yeah. Continue.
Yeah. Thank you. Amen. In fact, you guys will be the first church to hear this. If we can pull that off, and of course we need the lockdown to stop in order to do that, then in our 26 years of ministry, which of course faith has been a part of that, a part of our ministry and been partners in our ministry the whole time. But in those 26 years, we will have finally baptized 100 people. Wow. So in this, awesome. You know, very, very unreached country, that's going to be an exciting milestone.
Yeah.
So I'm going to share my screen again and talk about evangelism. You know, the culture in Turkey is very different from the culture in America. People are very interested in talking about God. People want to talk about God. Within minutes, we get to the topic of talking about God. So there's just this widespread curiosity that we absolutely enjoy in this country. And by the way, these next few pictures are taken from our church, so you can get an idea what our church looks like. For years and years, we've been giving away free Bibles online and just kind of advertising free Bible giveaways. And, you know, we have about one person a day, so 30 a month, who are asking for Bibles. And, you know, the statistics over the years have really borne out that for every 10 people that ask for a Bible, one person is willing to get together with us face to face, just like this person. And for every 100 people that ask for a Bible, we see one person come to faith in Christ. That's just been the statistics over the years that we've enjoyed. Like this lady here. Another thing that's kind of new that we're benefiting from the internet is that people are just beginning to find our address online. They're beginning to find my phone number online. And so we're starting to get foot traffic. And we've already had two people come to faith just simply as foot traffic. You know, they weren't friendship evangelism. They weren't, you know, people that were receiving Bibles. Let me go back to talking about, well, you know, if you're having nine people baptized, well, why is it that your church is only, you know, 16 to 20 people? And so I just want to talk really quickly about some of the challenges to discipleship. And the first one won't surprise you. It's just the crush of Islam, particularly the crush of Islam in people's families. It's just really a hard burden for people to bear. And it's a cause for many, many people just to kind of, you know, kind of decide they're just going to be private followers of Christ and not participate in church. So that's difficult. Another problem we have is just, of course, like anywhere else in the world, just the draw of the world, you know, people desiring to live worldly lives. And it keeps people from following Christ. And then another thing is just personal conflict. You know, people come out of Islam, they don't know how, they're not very good at interpersonal relationships, like forgiveness, like holding your tongue, not being bitter. And so that's another reason why we've seen people come to faith, but sometimes we can't seem to keep them gathered. And so it's interesting that, you know, you would think of evangelism as being a bottleneck toward our goal of planting a church, but really it's not a bottleneck. So we really praise the Lord for that. But what is a bottleneck is leadership development. Leadership development is something you can absolutely be praying for. The people would just grow in the Lord. and, you know, and mature in the faith, learn God's word. I want to share a picture again of three people. They're on your right. There is a couple, a husband and wife, and we have our hopes and our kind of our targets set on them to kind of go on with more deeper discipleship and ministry training for them, as well as the redhead on the left. And by the way, when we met her, she was covered. I had never seen her hair before. She came to faith in Christ and slowly kind of took off her head covering. And she's getting her master's right now in Turkish language and literature. So these three people, the couple on the right and the girl on the left, we're training for, Lord willing, for leadership positions someday. Other than that, I think we have about 9 Turks who are very faithfully going through our discipleship program. Our discipleship program typically takes about a year and a half. Most of those people came today. We love spending time with them. So those are some of the things you can be praying about. But thanks so much for having me come and join you today.
Absolutely. So good to hear from you. So thankful for this report. Do you mind if we just spend a moment and pray for you and your ministry and these folks that you've been talking about?
Sure.
All right. Thanks. Father, thank you so much for Brian and for the ministry. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen him and his family, allow them to continue to grow in you as they are pouring so much into their community and to their church and developing leaders. Lord, we thank you so much for these folks that are waiting to get baptized. I pray that you would allow the lockdown to end so that they can get together and publicly declare that they are yours. Let that baptism be a great symbol and a great encouragement to the believers there. Lord, we're also praying for continued discipleship and leadership development. The things that even as we're working through Ephesians, we're talking about loving one another. And Father, we pray that for Brian's church, that the folks that come to know Jesus wouldn't just simply be okay with a personal stay in my bedroom kind of faith, but instead, Lord, that they would fully embrace the church and they would fully understand what it means to live in a community. And Lord, I pray that those challenges would slowly become strengths for this church that we are so blessed to have a connection to. Father, we pray for the whole nation of Turkey. Would you continue to light a fire of evangelism under them? Let them continue to see the just destructive ways of Islam and allow them to see the truth of who Jesus is. And Father, would you just bless this man and this ministry and continue to allow us as a church to faithfully support him and his ministry, not just with finances, but with prayer and encouragement. May we as a church be that blessing to him. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks so much for joining us. So thankful to hear that. And we certainly will be having your back, okay?
That's all awesome. Right. Thank you so much.
Thank
really
you.
Appreciate it.
God bless
Lord
you.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Well, that was neat, right? That was really cool. I'm encouraged to hear that. Dave said it in the announcements, but if you're interested in baptism, come talk to me or go to the Welcome Center. What a great problem that is. I would love to have 9 people waiting to be baptized. What a neat thing that is. All right, we don't have a whole lot of time this morning, so we are going to just be rushing through. We might go past 10. Hope you're okay with that. If I see people popping up and start leaving, Lord bless you as you leave, but we're gonna get through the word. Is that all right? Yeah, okay. All right. Open up your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. It's really neat that we hear this from Brian and we understand what he's talking about, because even that great challenge that he was discussing of believers, people coming to know Jesus and then struggling to fit into the church, struggling to have those interpersonal relationships, struggling with people. It seems as though that's a universal problem, isn't it? Seems as though that the enemy, the devil, he would love to break up our churches. He would love to sow division. He would love to make us look at each other and kind of grimace a little bit. Because if we are having a difficult time with one another, if we're spending time fighting about this or that, if we're struggling with each other, then I think that we're struggling with our mission as well. In John, Jesus says to the disciples, he's praying for them, he's praying that they would love one another. And the reason why is so that the world, the watching world, and we've gone over this before, but the watching world would see the love that we as the church have for one another. And as they see that love that we have for one another, they would know that we belong to Jesus. And as they know that we belong to Jesus, they see him clearly and they turn to him. So I got to remind you, brother, sister, as we are living this life together as a community, as a church, as believers, we need to love one another. But it's difficult, isn't it? It's really difficult sometimes to walk in love. It's really difficult sometimes as we have been hurt. Maybe we think about the hurts that we've had. We think about the frustrations that we have with one another. And that phrase, walking in love, walk in love, it sounds great. It's easy for us to spend time on a Sunday morning talking about and encouraging each other. But when it becomes reality, it's a little tough sometimes, isn't it? It's okay. You can nod your head. You can respond. It's okay because everybody else agrees with you, okay? But I want to remind us what the Bible says in Ephesians 5, verse 1. It says, therefore, and again, you all know, if you see therefore, you got to figure out what it's there for. And I would go as far as say that the therefore in verse 1 is actually referring to everything from chapter 1 to chapter 4. So we don't have time this morning to dive into it, but I encourage you later today, go read Ephesians 1, 2, 3, and 4. It's an easy, quick read, and that'll help give you a greater context. But as we've been working through chapter 4, the last couple weeks, we remember that this is a new life that we've been called to. Not the old. We're supposed to leave the old behind and walk in the new life that Jesus has given us. Because of what he has done, he has given us a new life. And because of what he has done, there's a call on our life to obey him, to trust him, to love him. And so he says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. I read that. And as soon as I read that, there's one picture that pops into my mind. And you're going to see it in here in a minute. And you're going to see my big smile. But this is the picture that pops in my mind when I read that verse. Be imitators of God as beloved children. Let's see it. Maybe. There it is. There it is. Oh, it's a live photo. I didn't even see that. That's great. This was months ago at my parents' house. And all of a sudden, I hear my mom kind of squeal with joy, and I come running in, and here's Eli walking in my slippers, and we took a photo, and I'm thinking, wow, that's so neat. And he kept trying to walk around the house in my slippers, and it was cute. You've all probably have photos like this or memories like this of your own. But as he was walking around the house in my slippers, of course he had to say, dad-dad shoes, right? That just makes me feel even better. But as he's doing that, every once in a while he'd trip and he'd fall and he'd say, uh-oh, and then get back up and he'd go back in my slippers and keep trying to trek along. I think what a great picture that is, because we, as imitators of God, as his beloved children, we are called to imitate him. We are called to put on those figurative slippers and walk the kind of walk that he had called us to do, but we fall, don't we? We fall flat on our face. And it's difficult time and time again to keep popping up and dusting ourselves up and say, okay, I want to do it better this time. It's difficult, isn't it? But that's what he's called us to do. Be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. What an incredible picture this is. God is calling us to live our lives in the same way that Jesus Christ lived his. We talked about this last week, how God is holy and therefore we need to be holy. And that's a difficult task, isn't it? That's a really tall order. And we see that picture and we think about maybe our own kids and we see what it's like for a child to jump into their parents' shoes. And it's difficult for them to take that step forward because the shoes don't fit. They're too big. And for us, as we are trying to think about what it looks like, how it looks practically to live as an imitator of God, it's hard, isn't it? Because his shoes are way too big for us. Because we are so imperfect. But you know, the part of the story that I didn't tell you is that after he'd fallen down a couple of times, I went over and I grabbed his hands and I held his hands, and he was walking along as I'm holding his hands. It's a lot easier. And then before you know it, he was up off the ground and he's just kind of swinging his legs. And that was a lot easier for him. That was fun for him. And I think the picture that we see there is the only way that we're going to walk as imitators of God, the only way we're going to walk in love, the only way that we're going to please God is with God's help. When we completely surrender and saying, Lord, I can't do this on my own. I can't love my neighbor as myself. I can't love you. I can't obey you. I can't trust you. I can't do any of these things without you. I need you, Father, please. Pick me up. Carry me. Help me to live this life that you've called me to live. Walk in love. Verse 3, but sexually immoral and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you as is proper among the saints. Let there be no filthiness or foolish talk nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For at one time you were darkness. Wow, what wording that is. For at one time you were darkness. Not you were walking in darkness. Not you saw the darkness. At one time you were darkness. But now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of these things that they do in secret. But when everything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. We need to walk as children of the light. We are talking about walking in love. How do we love one another? It comes down to we walk as children of the light. We live our lives in such a way that reflects the light of who Jesus Christ is. I said it a couple of Sundays ago, but I'll say it again in case you forgot or wasn't here, but we need to be like the moon. The moon in and of itself doesn't have any light, but it reflects the light of the sun. And so that's why we can, on a clear day, clear night, walk out, see the moon, it's shining so brightly. My parents live in Colorado, and they sent me a picture the other day, and it looked like they had just taken a snapshot of the sun, but it was the moon. It was in the middle of the night, and it was that bright. And they said, no, this is not the sun. Wow. Wouldn't that be so neat if somebody said that about you in your life? Say, no, this person isn't Jesus, but they reflect him really well. No, this person isn't perfect, but they're doing a really good job of following their leader. They're doing a really good job of walking in the light. They are a child of the light. But in order to be children of the light, and in order to love one another, that means that we need to expose the things of darkness. As Paul says here just a few verses ago, as we read, we need to expose these things. And sometimes the most loving thing that you can do for a brother or sister in Christ is to lovingly go to them and expose something. Or, that one's a little more easy, isn't it? Going up to somebody, hey bud, let me tell you what you need to fix about yourself. That's easy, isn't it? Let me tell you a thing that's a little bit more difficult. Going up to a trusted brother and sister in Christ and say, hey, I need you, and I'm giving you permission to expose me. I'm giving you permission to dive into my life. And if you see something in me that's not right, I'm giving you permission to come up to me and talk to me about it. That's a lot more difficult, isn't it? Going up to somebody you love, who you trust, who you know is following Jesus and saying, hey, how am I doing? Is there something in me that you see that I need to work on? Is there a blind spot that I have? Is there something that I need to pray about more? Is there something that I need to grow more in? That's difficult, isn't it? Anybody ready to do that? Yeah, it's difficult. It's easy to go and tell people what, because let's be honest, for everybody you know, think about it. Every single person you know, you could probably say something that they need to work on, right? But when it gets personal, when they're coming after you, that's hard. But we need to love one another, and we need to trust one another to do that. Because it's not just simply saying, I want to look good in front of other people. It's saying, I'm willing to not look good in front of other people if that's going to make me more like Jesus. I'm willing to have my dirt exposed if that's going to mean that I can deal with it and that I can grow in my relationship with Jesus Christ. And so part of loving one another is, in love, with the right attitude, exposing the things that don't need to be there. That's why in church, sometimes it's difficult in a church when people are really trying to live for Jesus, you end up with all these frustrations, right? In a church, as a community, we're messy people, right? And so our church, our community, it can be messy. But I think if we are willing to be messy in order to grow in our relationship with Jesus, ultimately, that's the best thing. We're supposed to walk in the light. Look at verse 15 here. Look carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk on wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. A couple weeks ago, we were talking about that put off, put on concept. In order to drop something, you got to put something in its place. And Paul is just reiterating that right now. Instead of being worldly, instead of getting drunk, instead of allowing yourself to be controlled by something else, be controlled by the Holy Spirit. That's what he means by being filled with the Holy Spirit. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, if you've understood that Jesus is your Savior, if you put your trust in him for your salvation and your salvation alone, if you've done that, then the Holy Spirit is dwelling inside of you. And if the Holy Spirit is dwelling inside of you, you can't get more of him. He's there. But when we read that you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, when we read that, what Paul is saying, what the Holy Spirit is saying, is allow the Holy Spirit to get more of you. Ever think about it that way? Instead of saying, no, Lord, I need more of you, he's saying, you got all me there is. But instead, we need to say, Lord, have more of me. Have more control of my life. I give you my all. I want you to be my master. I want you to be the master, the Lord of my life. Verse 19, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. Isn't that a really neat phraseology right there? Making melody to the Lord with your heart. We had some awesome worship this morning, didn't we? I think so. And the neat thing about the worship that we had this morning, it wasn't the music, which was good. And it wasn't even so much the words, which were good. Music and words, when it comes to worship, is really, really good. But you know what's more important? The heart. What we desire here at Faith Community Church is to have, some people call it blended worship. We have a little bit of that, a little bit of that, and a little bit of that, and a little bit of that. And when I hear that, I think, oh man, that seems like we're just trying to please people. We all have our preferences of music, don't we? I know I do. But if we focus on our preferences, then I think we're missing the real meat there. Instead of saying we have blended worship that's a little bit for everybody, I say we should have united worship, saying I'm going to leave my preferences on the ground, I'm going to set my preferences down, and I'm going to worship my God with my brother and my sister next to me, and together, united, we are going to worship the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Together, our hearts are going to be directed towards him. It's pretty neat as we look at it in that way. Verse 20, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. That's a difficult thing right there. Read verse 21 again. Submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. How do we walk in love? Well, I submit to you, and you submit to me, and we submit to him. I submit to you, you submit to me, and we together submit to him. We're going to take a pause from Ephesians starting next week, and we're going to work through our church covenant. Do you know that we have a church covenant? Does anybody know what our church covenant says? You're going to find out in these next few weeks. We're going to look through our church covenant, and we're going to look and understand what it means to be a member. Dave, I see your hand. Yep, gold star for you. You know the church covenant. But the rest of us, we need to understand it better, okay? So we are going to work through the church covenant, and the reason why we're doing this is we need to understand not only what it means to be a member of a church, but what it means to be a member of Faith Community Church. What it means to belong to this community of believers. And that last verse that we talked about today, verse 21, I submit to you, you submit to me, we submit to him, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ, that is a difficult task for a lot of us. It's a difficult task for me. To be able to say, because of my love for Jesus, I am willingly submitting to you. But really, in so many ways, this verse is a transition into the rest of the chapter when Paul talks about wives submitting to husbands, husbands submitting to the Lord, and slaves and masters, and oh boy, kind of politically incorrect chapter right here. But before we jump into that, we need to understand who we are, what our responsibilities are, and what it means to truly submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. But I wanted to end this morning, and it's been an interesting morning as we've talked with Brian, but I wanted to end this morning reading the first chapter of John, the first part of the chapter of John. It says this, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, not anything was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." You see some of the same wording in Ephesians, even though Paul didn't write the Gospel of John. We see some of the same wording. It reminds us who Jesus is. He is light. He is life. He is love. And if we as believers are going to walk in light, if we're going to be walking in the life that he's given us, and certainly if we're going to be walking in love, then we got to be connected to Jesus. And I love how it is talking about Jesus in the first five verses. And then verse 6, it says, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that he might believe, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light." What a wonderful statement there. Wonderful couple of verses reminding us who John the Baptist was, what his role was, and how his role is in a lot of ways what we need to do. We come along and we point people to Jesus, and as believers, we look and we say, hey, I'm not the light, but I know who is. And I want you to walk in the light just as I am. The true light, verse 9, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know. Our world still doesn't know Jesus. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. Verse 12 right there is the whole point of the first chapter, this prologue of John, this first section here. Verse 12 is the climax. Let me read it again. It says this, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Brother, sister in Christ, if you are here, if you're listening to this, if you have put your trust in Jesus, that is you. You have, if you have believed in Jesus Christ, then that means you have the right to be called a child of God. And if you are a child of God, then that means that you are in the light, no longer in darkness, but in the light. And if you're in the light, then you have a responsibility to walk in love. We have an individual faith where we look to Jesus and we say, I have put my trust in him. As one person, I have put my trust in Jesus and he is my Savior. But we also, as much as we have an individual faith, we have a corporate faith as well. And we understand that as a child of God, we have brothers and sisters who are also children of God. And how we treat our family, it really does matter. How you treat your family is a reflection of how you treat other people. And if you're not treating your family right, then you're not going to be treating other people right. Verse 13, who were born not of the blood, nor of the will of flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, This was he of whom I said who comes after me, because he was greater before me. Verse 16, and from his fullness we have received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known. Because of Jesus, we can know who the Father is. Because of Jesus, we can have a relationship with the Father. Because of Jesus, we can walk in light. Because of Jesus, we can be children of light. Because of Jesus, we can walk in love. All these things are very difficult for us to do on our own. In fact, I'm going to say all these things are impossible for us to do on our own. But if we cling to Jesus, if we're, each and every one of us as individuals are clinging to Jesus, you know what's going to happen? We're going to reflect him better. And if we as individuals are clinging to Jesus, then we as a community are going to be better. We as a church are going to be better. If you're clinging to Jesus, if you're submitting to him, and I'm clinging to Jesus, I'm submitting to him, then you know what's going to happen? We're going to be the kind of church that people are going to run to. We're going to be the kind of church that people are going to look and see and say, wow, that's a city on a hill. Wow, that is something different. Wow. Something's happening there, and it's not because of the people. It's because of the Lord. That's what I want us to be. That's who we need to be. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Lord, it's difficult for us to walk in love. It's difficult for us to live our lives in such a way that is full of submission, that is full of love, that is full of light. But Lord, we know that we can do these things, these impossible things. We can do them with you. So Father, I pray that you will help us, that you would guide us, that you would give us the boldness to love one another, that you remind us of our heritage, remind us that we are children of God. And it's only because of Jesus that any of these things are possible. Lord, would you grow us closer to you, and would you grow us closer to one another? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.